Do you ever feel stuck, like you're living your life on autopilot? Are you ready to shift into high gear and reach the success you so richly deserve? Welcome to the Play Big Movement podcast. I am your host, Sharon Lecter, entrepreneur, business strategist, and best-selling author. Playing big is not about settling for good enough or being comfortable. It is about reaching your highest potential and achieving your greatest success. Join me in my Play Big movement as I interview top experts in business, money, and entrepreneurship, all ready to serve you and to help you play big, be number one in your field, live your legacy, and create maximum impact. Hi, everybody. Welcome to this segment of the Play Big podcast with Sharon Lecter. And I'm kind of excited because I have a new guest that I have not met, haven't gotten to know him. So we're going to get to know him together today. And he was recommended because, as we talk about, we continue to looking for people who play big and help others play big. So I'm happy to welcome Bob Glazer. Bob, thanks for being with me today.
Thanks for having me, Sharon.
Well, I'm excited. I love that you're that younger generation and you're out there making things happen. You're founder and CEO of the Global Performance Marketing Agency called Acceleration Partners. So definitely that sounds like playing big to me. You've been recognized and you write for all the major magazines, Forbes and Inc. So tell us a little bit more about how you got started and get us to the point where you are now, the younger
years. Where to start? Is that with this company or coming out of college?
Whatever you want to share is fine.
I have been around growth companies my whole career. I started working in strategy consulting out of college, then moved into venture capital, and then played an operating role in a growth business. From there, I left, started Acceleration Partners, and was helping companies really in that startup phase with sort of product market fit, growth marketing, even some fundraising. And then really settled in on what I saw for consumer businesses who we work with a lot, that customer acquisition really was kind of the make or break for most businesses. It wasn't necessarily who had the best product. It was who could get customers, you know, more cost effectively or people knew about their product or service. So we honed in on that at Acceleration Partners. And even within the kind of marketing and digital marketing, ended up really getting to know the affiliate space or partner marketing space and thought that was a great solution. And so we used to do sort of broad scale digital marketing, and in the last 5 years have really just focused in on the partnership and affiliate space. And so we help large brands build large partnership programs with people who get paid only on a performance basis. So it's really one of the true win-win models in advertising today.
So when somebody comes to you and wants to know, you know, if you can work with them, what are some of the first questions you ask them as it relates? Because are you looking at basically product delivery? Are you looking at service delivery?
We work mostly with larger consumer businesses that we're sort of built for the enterprise customer. So large e-commerce brands, consumer services, people that are doing kind of large scale marketing acquisition programs. That is the easiest answer. And people always say, so, you know, what's an example of this or how would this work? And I always think it's on a podcast, it's good to give an example where, you know, like Amazon has a very large affiliate program. They have 1 million partners who can create links and get paid and sort of on demand. And all of the rates are kind of, it's like a rate card. You know that a book you get paid 8% for, and you can do a lot of work or a little work, but you get paid 8%. So, you know, as a podcast host, you know, if you're linking to my books in the show notes, you could certainly sign up for Amazon, and a lot of them do that and provide links and get paid as a, you know, one of those partners. And so you can build a very large channel by aggregating lots of small partners in that way.
And it's more and more popular, certainly in the space that we're in when you're an author and that kind of thing. You want to look at partnerships and the affiliate marketing. Is there a leader out there as it relates to affiliate marketing from a software perspective?
We work with a bunch of different platforms. There's the traditional networks that advertisers might work with, like a Commission Junction or Linkshare, Rocketon, or AWIN, and then increasingly there's emerging companies where you can license the software and create your own program. And there's a few companies we work with in that segment called Impact and Partnerize and Tune. So there's a lot of good companies out there in the space. There's not one kind of monolithic provider like there is in social or search.
So what's the next level for your company as you continue to expand? You're providing these services at the enterprise level. How are you growing your business?
Yeah, so 3 years ago, we wrote a vivid vision painted picture, set out to do a bunch of things, including expand to 4 different countries, write a book, which we did, and triple the business. And we're coming on to the end of that 3-year segment, and we've done all of that. So I'm under pressure. I've been writing the next version, the 2023 plan. And I think we're looking to continue our global expansion. We think that these global partner programs are one of the biggest opportunities in the industry. We're also doing some interesting stuff with technology, and we continue to lead with our culture and doing things on the people front that are really different. And we think that if we get the best people in a services business, we will evolve and have the best product and service.
So is there a client out there that you're looking at that you'd love to have that you don't have yet? You don't necessarily use the name, but describe them for you.
I think there's some large multinational retail and consumer companies that are increasingly looking to step up these programs to the next level. And rather than working with 4 different agencies around the world, if they have one software partner, they'd love to partner with one agency. And we're getting ourselves set up to really be that solution.
And where are you based, Bob?
Based out of Boston, but we have hubs in 6 or 7 cities around the world.
Wonderful. How large is your organization?
150 people.
Fantastic. That's wonderful. Congratulations.
Thank you.
That's wonderful. You seem pretty young to have that kind of an organization, so that's wonderful.
I'm not as young as you think I am. maybe I just shaved today. I don't know.
So, even though you work at that level, you at one time were a startup. So what's your recommendation to those people to see that as a vision where they want to go, but they're not there yet? What do they need to put in order?
Yeah, I think you want to be really clear about what you want. And that comes from a core value standpoint and the type of company you want to build and the leader you want to be and where you're going. The vivid vision exercise that we did, which comes from Brian Scudamore's painted picture at 1-800-GOT-JUNK. It's a really powerful thing that I know a lot of really successful business owners have done. I just interviewed Brian. He's done 5 of them. They've grown, you know, from nothing to hundreds of millions of dollars. And both for your current people and prospects, really writing out the way that we do it is, it's January 2023, and this is what the company looks like, and this is what's going on. And, you know, it makes it really exciting for people to understand kind of what they're buying into and where you're going and how they can be a part of that. So I think, you know, there's some quote that I'll mess up, like, if you don't know where you're going, any road will do. But I think it's really important to give people, particularly with the millennials and Gen Z, they want to understand where they're going, what the company's going, give a direction. And, you know, we really tie that all together in a way that I think is great for all generations, and that we have that vision and we have where we're going and purpose and why we're doing it. But then that all ties into 3-year objectives and 1-year goals and quarterly objectives and full open book accounting, and everyone's to-dos are kind of public and they understand what everyone's doing. So it also creates a tremendous amount of accountability. I mean, we've been really blessed to win a whole bunch of Great Place to Work and Culture Awards from Glassdoor and Entrepreneur and Inc. and all these things. But we stress to people in the interview process, we believe we're a great and supportive culture, but we're also trying to be the number one player in our industry. And this is a intense, fast-paced work environment, probably faster than most people have worked at. And we think that unique combination of kind of healthy and high performance, we're not trying to burn people out, but we are also not a middle lane type place to come to work where everyone plays foosball and ping pong all day and sings kumbaya.
Well, I'm glad to hear that. Obviously, yeah. You know, being in the fast lane and having those kind of benchmarks, but it is, if you can't measure it, you can't figure out where you're going. And I always say map doesn't do you any good if you don't know where you are and where you want to go. And so that's part of laying out that culture and that goal. And I actually think, you know, in my experience with Gen Z and the millennials, they tend not to want to look out 3 years. They're looking more, you know, next week, next month, maybe 6 months is about as far forward thinking as they want to go. But I think it's really important for those, you know, everyone wanting to do a business to look at that, at least that 3 to 5 year plan as a, as the, basically a dartboard that you're sort of hoping to get to.
Yeah. I mean, I think one of the things I talk about a lot, I think the command and control playbook of leadership is dead. I think there's people out there still using it. I think in 5 to 10 years, they're going to have a really hard time running a company if their pitch is, hey, come make me a lot of money. Mm-hmm. I mean, rightfully so, people today are willing to work hard, but they want to know like, what's in it for them? And that can be like, what's in it for them? Like, what's our company looking to accomplish or what's it looking to do? But I was just talking with another CEO about this morning. You know, information wants to be open and wants to be free. So a lot of these things that were, I would say, bleeding edge practices, you know, maybe 4 or 5 years ago, people are almost being forced into it now. Like if you're not open book management or moving towards it, you're going to have a really hard time keeping information, you know, from being free. It just in the world that we live in.
Well, I often tell people, you know, I talk to a lot of older CEOs and owners, they get frustrated with the millennials and the Gen Zers. And I go, well, you know, you're not really respecting them. They want to feel like they have some ownership in what they're doing, some transparency in what they're doing. And when you have that command and control, as you term it, I say you just might as well put a revolving door in the front of your office because they're not going to stay around.
Yeah, look, to be fair, they're not getting a pension. They're not getting lifetime employment. And again, coming to your company to make you a ton of money is not a really, in a tight, you know, labor market, is not a real compelling thing for them to do when they have options. And 20, 30 years ago, people didn't have options. So markets change. And I think
particularly today with unemployment so low, you definitely.
Yeah, and the gig economy. I just saw a very prominent kind of thought leader speak. He's like, look, you know, companies are going to become more open. People will come in, they'll come out. Like they can go work their own, make their own company and drive packages for Amazon or Uber or do all this gig stuff if that's more attractive than what you're offering.
That's true. And the part of that leadership and is also being a cheerleader for the team and making sure they feel like they're being valued and respected. And that's something that sometimes gets lost in a multi-tier organization.
Yeah. And again, I joked about the kumbaya thing before. If you look at the culture, like we're not, it might give you a different perception of what we are. I mean, I really believe in all that stuff and a services business, but I think it's helped drive our performance, and it is because that we're asking people to do hard stuff and working them hard, and that's fast paced. That stuff sort of help balances it out. I think there's a lot of leaders that still just don't believe that you can get good results from treating people well and supporting people. And again, I think you can have both.
So when you're looking at somebody, and it's a company that maybe isn't quite far enough along to get your services, there are still plenty of affiliate programs. So what would be your guidance to them on how to make that first step and how to look into that for their company?
Yeah, so oftentimes we make recommendations to people, an individual who manages like a couple programs at a time and really does a good job. They just don't scale and run hundreds of programs. Or, you know, we can help them launch or train to run it in-house. As long as people are paying attention and are actively managing the program, it's fine to be small. The problem is when they sign up for this thing, put on autopilot, and they have partners signing up, and they don't know who it is, and no one's looking at it. And then we have to come in 2 years later and do a major kind of toxic cleanup project, which is never very fun. You know, it's like, it's a lot more expensive to clean it up than it is to do it right the first time. So people can certainly do this themselves. They can go to, you know, something like ShareASale or Pepper Jam or a smaller network with low fees and get started. They want to do their research. They should do their homework and, you know, don't keep it small and controlled and know who you're working with and know what they're doing.
And quite frankly, they need to manage and measure, you know, everything in business.
Anything that, you know, there's this perception 10 years ago because people didn't understand attribution, but that you would just set up an affiliate program, it would just run and make money and you don't have to do anything. Like, there's nothing that is that. There was reasons for that and they weren't good reasons. So there's nothing in life that is actually that easy and that has upside without any real work. If there is, I'd love someone to tell me how to do more of that.
Well, it allows you to manage and measure more quickly and more easily because of the advance in technology. So it greases the skids, but you still have to actually have the conductor watching it and manage.
Right. I mean, when you think about what we're doing, we're providing scale to business development. So, and if I met you and you could possibly help me with $500 a month in referrals, but I had to sign a set 10-page contract and set you up in my lead system, and then you sending invoices and all that stuff, it would not be worth the effort. If I have a software system that just loads you into that program and you accept the iTunes agreements and you go the next day, that's great in that it makes that quick and solves a lot of that problem. But that you don't want to onboard a lot of partners who are off brand or doing things that you don't, you know, want them to do. So the tech's great. It's half the equation. I think then having the humans behind it and knowing these relationships. But, you know, the example I always give is we worked with a company called Shutterfly, and they had all these photographers who wanted to sort of send their holiday business, and they were, you know, $1,000 of holiday cards maybe, or time, or a couple, and in a couple months, and it would not have been worth, the BD team just could not set up, you know, 1,000 of these people to do $1,000. But when we rolled them all into the affiliate program and 1,000 of them did $1,000, you know, $1 million in revenue without all the lift that corresponding with it was meaningful.
And that's where the system continues to get more fine-tuned and better and more profitable. But it doesn't, and this is something that I talked to my group about, is quality control. You made that comment quickly a moment ago, but it is so important that you have a bunch of affiliates out there. Well, if they're out there basically representing you, you want to ensure that they're adding value to your brand, not tarnishing it. And that's
right. I mean, the one thing is they could be sending these emails, which are really off brand and promoting stuff that is, you know, that is not what you'd be comfortable with and getting sales, but not doing it how you want. So it really, the affiliate and partner space is a high tech, high touch endeavor. Like it is really enabled by technology, but the people component and the relationships are really important. I bet you know who you're doing business with, and that's really the new generation.
Yeah, I like that. High tech, high touch. We may name the podcast that. That's great.
Yeah.
Because it is important, and that's something that in the industry that I'm in, you know, with personal development and speaking, you know, a lot of times people are just getting as many people out there they can to sell their products without doing the quality control, and it comes back to bite you at the end.
So, yeah, there's a lot of people in the sort of you know, course subscription place that, you know, let's say I have a course and you have a course and we each have a list, and I say, Sharon, I'll pay 50%, you know, you blast your list and I'll pay 50%, and then you know, you blast your list and I blast your list. Like, there's a lot of email swapping where people don't even really like the products, but, you know, they're getting offered a huge commission because it's an information product with a margin. And so there's a lot of that goes on. We don't do much with the email space, but that's a whole segment of the industry where people just kind of will just burn this list and try to sell them anything that they get paid.
We see it all the time. And yeah. I've had so many people come up to me, oh, I have this huge list I want to market you to. And I go, well, where'd the list come from? Who are these people? People get burned all the time doing that, just getting a little bit greedy on the side without understanding if they're quality leads, obviously. Right. Quality audience, and you want to have people, you know, what we do is, so we're not really into email blasting too much anymore, but we'll do invite people to webinars and then have an opportunity to educate them for free with the opportunity, obviously, on the back end. But, you know, the power of affiliation is exactly, you know, I talk about it all the time, Bob, about the power of association and how important it is in today's economy. You know, trying to start and build something on your own takes a whole lot longer than being able to find other people that can share the wealth, and you have those joint partnerships, those joint ventures that allow both ships to rise. So I appreciate what you do and obviously what you've contributed. And I appreciate you coming on today and getting to know you and hearing a little bit more about what you do. So, Bob, if somebody wants to find you and locate your company, how do they find you?
I'm sure they can find my company at accelerationpartners.com. And if they're looking for more information on me and all the stuff that I do, that's at robertglazer.com. And on there, too, there's something they can sign up for called Friday Forward, which was a newsletter that started to my team, a note that started to my team 4 years ago and now reaches almost 100,000 people around the world each Friday.
Super. Thank you. Ask you to stay on for a few more minutes because we're going to do another interview for the private Facebook group. So thanks everybody for watching this segment of the Play Big Movement podcast. Rewind, listen, some incredible information Bob has shared. So, and join us in the private Facebook group, the Play Big Movement with Sharon Lecter. Have a great day. Thank you for listening to this segment of the Play Big Movement podcast. Please subscribe to iTunes and leave us a review, as well as join us in other areas of social media, Twitter, Instagram, and LinkedIn at Sharon Lecter, and for Facebook, author Sharon Lecter. Thank you so much and have a fabulous day.